Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right. Yesterday, we did the AFC North. So you know what that means for today. We're doing the NFC North. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to be starting off with the Packers. All right. We're going to be talking about them for the first segment. We'll talk about Detroit for the second segment, Chicago for the third, and then Minnesota for the fourth. This division's quite intriguing. All right, you got the Detroit Lions, you got Matt Patricia as their new head coach. Is he going to be able to install the Patriot Way type philosophy over in Detroit? And I think that's what Detroit's been missing, is just a stable coaching staff. All right, I think they've underachieved the last few years. Should be a team that's competing for playoffs year in and year out, but for some reason aren't able to. So we're going to be talking about them, like I said, for the second segment. As far as the Packers go, it seems that they got a love-hate relationship with Aaron Rodgers, or more so, Aaron Rodgers has a love-hate relationship with the Packers. We're going to be talking about all that. They brought in DeShone Kizer to be the backup. Well, I guess compete for the backup job. And, I mean, they drafted pretty well. All right, fixed up their secondary a bit with their first two picks. And obviously with the Packers, I mean, last year was a year where they finished 7-9, third in the NFC North, but a lot of that was just due to the fact that Rodgers missed a lot of the season with a collarbone injury, so pretty much just be talking about them, like I said, for the first segment. As far as the Bears go, I've been on this team since the middle of last season, all right? That's been one of my teams to look for, probably my biggest team to look for right there. We're going to be talking about all their moves, talk about the draft and all of that, and then, of course, being going to be predicting the win-loss records for each team, and then for the Vikings. All right. Had the, what are we calling it? The Minneapolis Miracle, the Minnesota Miracle, Stephon Diggs' touchdown. I'm not sure what we're calling it, but nonetheless, had that happen last playoffs. Then you go to the NFC Championship to face off with the Eagles, looking like you're the better team, and you pretty much get blown out of the water. All right. Now in the offseason, you go, you grab Kirk Cousins. Is this going to be enough to get them to a Super Bowl? It might be. It might not be. Okay. Dalvin Cook blew out his knee last season. How's he going to be when he comes back? And Dalvin Cook, before he blew out his knee, was looking like a top rookie running back. All right. So now we'll wait and see how he does coming back. No more Jack McKinnon there. I believe they still got Latavius Murray. I'd have to double check. And of course, you still got a solid team. I mean, it's not like they lost too many pieces or anything like that compared to their team last year. All right. Going from Case Keenum to Kirk Cousins. I mean, they basically both had similar years this past season as far as how well they played, but Kirk Cousins has been doing it for longer. Of course, you have to pay him a whole lot more money than you would a Case Keenum, but I mean, the object is to win, and I think Kirk Cousins gives you the best opportunity there. So we're going to be talking about all four of those teams. Like I said, we'll go through the schedule and give our little win-loss prediction for each team. All right. And again, these win-loss predictions, I mean, usually mean absolutely nothing because I'm going to be getting them wrong. But nonetheless, it's good to look through the schedule and have an idea of what we expect. All right. So far, we've done the AFC East. We've done the NFC East. We've done the NFC West, the AFC West, and the AFC North. Now we got to do the NFC North. And I think the only two that are left is the NFC South and the AFC South. Yeah, I'd say so myself. That's it. And after that, it'll be back to talking about anything else that's ever going on in the world of football. It's been pretty slow the last couple of weeks, all right? We need a Dez Bryant signing or something to go on. So we'll see what ends up happening, but let's talk about the Green Bay Packers, all right? Green Bay Packers have won Super Bowl under Aaron Rodgers back in 2010, I believe it was. And I always trip out on how old Aaron Rodgers is. He plays like he's barely hitting his 30s. He's actually 34. But then again, I mean, he did sit for like the first 5 years of his career, didn't he? So I guess he's got five more years added. Is that the way it works? And Aaron Rodgers is a guy who I think could play till he's 45 if he wanted to. I mean, Aaron Rodgers really hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. Okay, he's only a couple years younger than Eli Manning. And actually, I think he came... Roethlisberger came in 04. Rodgers got drafted in 05, right? Let me double check when Aaron Rodgers got drafted. All right, because he's not far off from like these guys like Rivers and all that. And those guys are looking like they're already taking their next step down. All right, so let's see. I'm going to check it all right now. But I think Roethlisberger and Rivers all came in the same draft, right? They had to have, didn't they? I know Eli and Rivers came in the same draft, obviously. So let me check them both real quick. And they're no more than 2 years apart. I know that for a fact. There's no, absolutely no way. All right, so Ben Roethlisberger, he came into the league back in 2004. Rodgers came into the league in 2005, so the year after. And then Eli came in, 2004 with Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger. All right. And like I said, I mean, that's only a year difference, okay? And you got Eli, who looks like he's starting to take a step down. Big Ben, still the top quarterback, but isn't as quick as he used to be. And then Philip Rivers, I mean, I don't know. Philip Rivers is a weird quarterback. He's still playing well, but he's just not as great as the other two I mentioned. All right, and then like I said with Aaron Rodgers, he came into the league in 2005, didn't get his first meaningful, I guess, play time till 2008, so he sat for 3 years, not five. I was a little bit off there. Nonetheless, yeah, he came in, started 2008, 16 games right there, went 6-10. The next year, he goes 11-5. Year after that, he goes 10-5, but he misses a game. All right, 2011, he only starts 15 games, they go 14-1. 2012, they go 11-5. 2003, he only plays 9 games. They were 6-3 at the time. 2014, they go 12-4. 2015, they go 10-6. 2016, they go 10-6 again. In 2017, they were 4-3. But of course, he broke his collarbone. All right. And like I said, Rodgers hasn't taken a step back yet. He's still about as good as anyone out there. He's probably the best quarterback out there in the league right now. As far as all time, I guess you get to give that nod to Brady, but nonetheless, Rodgers is the most talented quarterback in the league right now. All right, and of course, I think he's only got up until, I think his deal expires after the 2019 season, so I'm sure that the Packers are trying to work out a deal in order to keep him there, as they should. But it's a point where you're going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers about as whatever he wants, I guess. All right, because right now he's making 19 mil a year, I believe it is. All right, let me look at his contract just to double check it all. All right, so he signed his deal back in 2013, his big deal. So yeah, he's going to be making 19 mil this year, 20 in 2019, and then after that is when he's a free agent. All right, looking at Kirk Cousins, let's look at Kirk Cousins' deal real quick and see what his guaranteed money is again, just to double check. But fact of the matter is, like I said, with Kirk Cousins, I mean, you're going to, whatever Kirk Cousins got, you're going to have to at least top that by another 10, 15 mil with Aaron Rodgers. Because I think we can all agree that Kirk Cousins, as good as he is, does not come close to the type of quarterback that Rodgers is. So, yeah, Kirk Cousins got $84 million guaranteed with a $3 million signing bonus. It's about $87 million, I guess, the total for the contract. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I think what did Matt Ryan get? Matt Ryan got some ridiculous amount of guaranteed money too, didn't he? And that's going to be a nice little basis too of what to think of what Aaron Rodgers is possibly going to get. All right, I think Matt Ryan got like, let me see. Matt Ryan got $94.5 million guaranteed. 100 of it is totally guaranteed. All right, which is honestly just ridiculous. So like the total guaranteed money is 100 mil. Aaron Rodgers for sure has to be getting more than that, right? Just given the fact that he also just hasn't looked like he's taken a step back at all. I assume so. All right, so, yeah, Packers are going to have to pay him after 2019, but, I mean, they got a solid squad out there.
Okay, looking at their draft, their first two picks, they spent them on, first round they spent it on Jair Alexander, cornerback out of Louisville, and then the second pick was Josh Jackson, cornerback out of Iowa. They got arguably two out of the top three cornerbacks in the draft. Okay, of course it'd be two and three with Denzel Ward being the best. But nonetheless, that's going to help out a lot. Then you got Oren Burks, outside linebacker out of Vanderbilt. Jamon Moore, wide receiver out of Missouri in the fourth round. Fifth round, they get Cole Madison, tackle out of Washington State, offensive tackle. And then second pick of the fifth round, they take J.K. Scott, punter out of Alabama. Third pick of the fifth round, they take Marquez Valdez-Scantling, wide receiver out of South Florida. Sixth round, this guy could be a bit of a nice little sleeper pick for the Packers, I think. They take, I got to figure out how to pronounce his first name, Equanimous St. Brown, wide receiver out of Notre Dame. He's got a lot of raw talent. It's just a matter of developing it. And then seventh round, they take James Looney, defensive tackle out of California. Second pick of the seventh round, they take Hunter Bradley, long snapper out of Mississippi State. And then their final pick of the seventh round, they take Kendall Donerson, outside linebacker out of Southeast State. So you saw that they took two outside linebackers. They still need help out there. All right. Clay Matthews is getting older. He's not getting any younger. That's their next little step as far as building up the team, is the outside linebacker spot. But I do like what they did as far as taking Josh Jackson and Jair Alexander with their first two picks. I think that's going to help out a lot. And I think this year with the Packers, I mean, you got Cobb, you got Adams, you got Graham. All right. They should be a very good team this season as far as the offense. Jimmy Graham caught, what, 10-plus touchdowns last season? I mean, I'm sure he's going to be doing a whole lot better with Aaron Rodgers. And I think we've been waiting, too, ever since JaMychal Finley left, for Aaron Rodgers to get that good tight end. All right. At one point, everyone thought it was Jared Cook. Wasn't going to happen. Okay. Jared Cook was a guy who, for some reason, I mean, always regarded as a top tight end when it comes to free agency. But nonetheless, yeah, he wasn't the guy, and they've just been searching since then. So I think Jimmy Graham could be that. Nonetheless, I mean, let's look at their schedule and see what I got them going at. So they got the Bears week one. I'll say that's 1-0. Then they got the Vikings. I'll say 1-1. At the Redskins, 2-1. Versus the Bills, 3-1. At Detroit, 4-1. Versus the 49ers, 5-1. At the Rams, 5-2. Versus the Patriots, I'll say 6. Did I pick the Patriots in that one? I remember I made that pick. I think I took the Packers. I'll go say 6-2. Miami 7-2. At Seattle 7-8-2. Seattle's not what it once was at home. At Minnesota 8-3. Versus the Cardinals 9-3. Versus the Falcons 9-4. At the Bears 9-5. At the Jets 10-5. Versus the Lions 11-5. So that's a 4-win improvement right there. I think that's pretty fair. I guess I say I have them winning anywhere from, I guess, 10 to 13 wins, I guess. That little area, 10 to 12 maybe. So I think that's pretty fair. But, yeah, that's what I got them going at. I mean, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the future for quite some time with the Packers. So they'll be good for years to come. But nonetheless, like I said, I got them going 11-5 right now. So we're going to wrap it up there. Next up, we'll be talking Detroit Lions. So stay tuned for that, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the Green Bay Packers. I got them going 11-5 right now, so we'll probably win anywhere from 10 to 12 wins, I think. All right, and I think that's pretty fair. But nonetheless, we talked about them, and now we're going to be heading over to Detroit and talking about the Lions. All right. And with the Lions, they, I feel, in my opinion, do have a top five quarterback in the league. Okay, I think Matt Stafford is that good. I mean, if you look at his stats, you could prove it there. But it's just with Stafford, he just really hasn't been able to get the team to the next level. I'm not really sure if that's entirely his fault. All right. But nonetheless, Detroit has simply just underachieved, I guess you could say. And I think that's fair to say. All right, since he's been in the league. Came in the league in 2009. So he's played about, what, 8 years, 9 years, something like that. All right. And he's got three playoff games, 2011, 2014, 2016. Hasn't won any of them. Let's see, in 2011, he threw for 380 yards, three touchdowns, two picks in that game. 2014, throws for 323 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. 2016, he completes 56% of his passes, 205 yards, no touchdowns, no picks there. So his playoff numbers aren't great, okay? Three games, three interceptions, four touchdowns, all right? And then 900 yards throwing in those three games. Looking at his stats, I mean, his first year, he only played 10 games. They go 2-8. All right, 13 touchdowns, 20 picks. 2010, he only plays three games, so that's kind of a throwaway season there. 2011 was the first season where he started all 16 games. They go 10-6. He throws for 5,000 yards, 41 touchdowns, 16 picks. The next year, they go 4-12. Throws again for nearly 5,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, 17 picks, so those numbers are way down. All right. 2013, they go 7-9, 4,600 yards, 29 touchdowns, 19 picks. 2014, when they go back to the playoffs, they go 11-5, throws for 4,200 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 picks. 2015, they go 7-9, 4,200 yards, 32 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. 2016, they go 9-7. All right. 4,300 yards, 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And then 2017 was actually a pretty good year for him. He threw for nearly 4,500 yards, had 29 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. But of course, I'd say that his best season was back in 2011. His first time starting, where he threw for 5,000 yards, had 41 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. All right, and like I said, with Matt Stafford, the biggest thing around him is he hasn't been able to get Detroit to the playoffs regularly. All right, and hasn't won a playoff game yet. And I'm not going to put that like all on him or anything like that. But fact of the matter is, you play the most important position in football, the most scrutinized position in football. So you are going to get some heat when you're not making the playoffs. All right, it is going to come down to the quarterback. And I think as far as the Lions go, I think it's been more of a coaching problem rather than a Stafford problem. Because, I mean, if you look at it, the guy's stats aren't bad, and they got talent on that team. There isn't, like, this team should be way better than what they've shown. All right? They've underachieved big time. Okay? And, I mean, last year, like I said, they go 9-7, barely miss out on the playoffs. And it's just a point where Matt Stafford is a Hall of Fame type quarterback. Okay, but he doesn't have the Hall of Fame type accolades to get him in yet. All right. And I feel like that's a decent thing to say right there. That makes sense. Yeah, I'd say so myself. But nonetheless, I mean, looking at the draft this year, they take Frank Ragnow, center out of Arkansas. It looks like he's going to be playing guard this season, though. That's where they've had him at an OTA so far. So we'll see how well he does there, the guard position. And we've seen that a lot with teams who will draft centers. They'll move him over to guard. Or even they'll draft like a left tackle or right tackle if they're already there at that. They're already stacked in that position. They'll move you to guard. All right. Then they take Kerryon Johnson, running back out of Auburn. I felt like maybe they should have taken Darius Geis in the first round. instead of Ragnow. But of course, I mean, you can't ever go wrong with getting offensive line help. But there's a point where you've gone from Amir Abdullah, Theo Riddick, Reggie Bush, all those guys. It hasn't worked out. Okay. Matt Stafford needs a running back. And we're starting to see the NFL head towards the way of having a top running back on your team. Okay. Because obviously, when you got a top running back, that's going to help your quarterback more so than it doesn't. Okay. It's going to keep defenses honest. You got a top running back, you can't just load up with the defensive backs. You're going to have to stack the box a few times. And I think that's one of the biggest disservices that Detroit's done to Stafford is not giving him a running back. It's almost as bad as the Colts not giving Andrew Luck an offensive line. Right? But I guess only crazy franchises do that stuff. Third round, they take Tracy Walker, safety out of Louisiana Lafayette. Fourth round, they take Deshaun Hand, defensive end out of Alabama. He could be a nice little sleeper pick for the Lions. Fifth round, they take offensive tackle Tyrell Crosby out of Oregon. And then seventh round, they take Nick Bodden, fullback out of San Diego State. Nice to see that the fullback position is still alive and well. All right. And I'm very curious to see what this team looks like with Matt Patricia. Okay. Matt Patricia, more times than not, ran a good defense over in New England. And seems like he's got a little Belichick in him. All right. If you've watched him as far as talking and all that. And Jim Caldwell, I mean, he was a good coach, but he's like a Marvin Lewis type where you're not really going to get the most out of your team. Okay, you'll make the playoffs and stuff, but that's it. You'll just be making the playoffs. You won't be going far. All right. And that's one thing that Detroit has lacked. Okay. They're not a team who really makes the playoffs year in and year out. They're a team who will make it every couple of years and then just get bounced in the wild card round. All right. They need to be better than that. When you got a top five quarterback on your team and one of the best receiving combos in the league, yes, Golden Tate and Marvin Jones are one of the best receiving combos in the league, and you also got a solid defense, that should be a recipe for success as far as playoffs, regular season, all that go. Okay? It really should be. But now, I mean, it's a point where they've underachieved. They haven't done much. Stafford's not getting any younger. All right? Let me see, he came into the league in 2009. I'm not sure how old he is right now. He's only got one Pro Bowl appearance. I mean, Stafford's like he's missing all the accolades. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, going into this year, it's going to be even tougher for Detroit to do something. Okay? It really is. You got a Bears team who is on the come up, and we're going to be talking about them in the next segment. You got a Minnesota Vikings team who was a game away from the Super Bowl, and you got a Packers team who struggled last year, but they got their star quarterback coming back. Okay. It's a point where, I mean, if Detroit's going to want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to make it along with the Vikings and the Packers. I could see three teams making it out of the NFC North into the playoffs. But it's going to be tough, and this team pretty much needs to have the same goal. They need to be on the same page, and they need to execute, okay? Like I said, I mean, they've been wasting years on top of years not making the playoffs. And I'm not sure if it's a Matt Stafford thing or if it's a coaching thing or if it's just a Detroit thing, all right? And it's still not over Megatron leaving that team, Calvin Johnson. I mean, imagine them right now with Calvin Johnson. We got cheated out of that. All right. He's a top 10 receiver all time already. Imagine if we had him here still. All right. And I mean, let's reminisce back to Megatron's numbers. All right. Looking at what he did while he was out there in the league. And Calvin Johnson was one of a kind. I'm talking to like he's not here anymore. But nonetheless, I mean, it just needs to see that we can't watch him play. All right. Because he didn't like being in Detroit. So, Megatron, he came into the league in what? 2007? I think that was the year before Stafford. Stafford came in, yeah. So, that's the... All right, 2 years before Stafford. All right. He had to go... Didn't he have to go through that 0-16 season, Megatron? I think he did. All right. But either way, I mean, His first year, he had 48 receptions, 756 yards, 4 touchdowns. His second year, he goes for 1,300 yards, 78 receptions, 12 touchdowns. Next year, 67 catches, 984 yards. That was Stafford's first year, 2009. Yeah, that was Stafford's first year, but Stafford didn't really, only played 10 games. All right, so 2011, that was Stafford's best year. Let's look at what Megatron did there. He had 96 receptions, nearly 1,700 yards, 16 touchdowns. Year after that, 122 catches, nearly 2,000 yards, 5 touchdowns, which is just ridiculous that season right there. 2013, 84 receptions, nearly 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns. And then from 2014, he had 71 catches, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, only played 13 games that season too. All right, and then 2015 has 1,200 yards, 88 receptions, 9 touchdowns. I mean, this dude was a beast. On his way to becoming one of the best receivers of all time. All right. And Detroit cheated us out of that. But nonetheless, I mean, they got Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. I think that's a solid duo right there. So let's look at their schedule and see what I got the Lions going at right now. Last season, they finished 9-7. So let's see. Week 1, they got the Jets. I'll say 1-0. Then they got the 49ers, 2-0. Patriots, 2-1. Cowboys, 2-2. Packers, 2-3. At Miami. I think I got them 3-3 versus Seattle. I think I picked Seattle in that game. 3-4 at Minnesota. 3-5 at the Bears. 3-6 versus the Panthers. 4-6 versus the Bears. 5-6 versus the Rams. 5-7 at Arizona. 6-7 at the Bills. 7-7 versus the Vikings. I'll say that's at home. I'll go 8-7 at the Packers, 8-8. So I got them going 8-8 right now, but I do think they could go from anywhere of 7 to 10 wins, I'll say. All right, I think that's fair. Probably more so 7-9 than 7-10. But nonetheless, I mean, Detroit's got to figure something out this season. All right, it can't just be missing out on the playoffs and wasting away each Matt Stafford year as quarterback. So we'll see what ends up happening. They do got a solid team, but like I said, that NFC North is going to be no joke. All right. Packers are going to be just as, like, way better than last year. Vikings should be better. And the Bears should be a whole lot better. So we'll see what ends up happening. But we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we'll be talking about the Chicago Bears. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. We spent these first two segments talking about the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. I got the Packers going 11-5 and the Lions going, I said not 8-8, I think. Yeah, 8-8. And I think the Lions are going to be a pretty decent team. It just all depends on the divisional games and just how well they put it together. They got talent. It's honestly kind of ridiculous just how they've underperformed, but yeah, they got talent. They're not a bad team. All right. I'm just not sure what it is. Okay, whether it's just something about playing in Detroit. And I'm not trying to take shots at Detroit, but I'm honestly trying to figure it out. I mean, there's a reason why Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson retired so early into their careers. All right. But nonetheless, they gotta figure something out. All right. So we'll see what ends up going there, but there is a team in Chicago that goes by the name of the Bears. that I've been pretty much just squatting on, just waiting, you know, just to see the kind of moves they've made. I remember last year, I saw Mitch Trubisky make a throw, and honestly, I'm not going to lie to you guys, okay? I saw it was one throw Mitch Trubisky made, and I was like, you know what? This dude's going to be a very good quarterback, okay? And of course, I did watch him a bunch of other times. It was just like one of those where it's like that one throw you see, you know what? This guy's going to be good. All right. And ever since then, yeah, I've been watching the Bears pretty closely and all that. And I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a very good quarterback. Okay, I think John Fox kind of handcuffed him a bit last season as far as just limiting the offense so much to where, I mean, the dude's only throwing for 100 yards a game. All right. But nonetheless, I mean, I do think he is the quarterback of the future for the Bears. Okay, I really do think he's going to be that good. And the Bears really haven't had a real good quarterback since, I guess, Jay Cutler. But Jay Cutler, I mean, that might be one of the ultimate, I guess, wasted talents that we've seen. Okay, because Cutler was a guy who pretty much had all the talent in the world. All right. Easily had the talent that could have made him a Hall of Fame quarterback. Okay, and you're probably thinking, oh, Jay Cutler, what are you talking about? How? Just think about it, okay? Forget all the antics and all that as far as him being quitting on a team or whatever. Think about his arm strength, okay, and the throws that he could make when, I guess, he put full effort in. You're telling me that guy couldn't have won more games with the Bears or Denver or whatever and maybe became a Hall of Famer just given his talent? I mean, looking at it, he did have, I don't know, Jay Cutler wasted his career, I guess we could say. He really did. There's no reason to go in more about Jay Cutler because, I mean, that's the past, but he could have been a whole lot better. But nonetheless, yeah, so 2017, Trubisky started 12 games. He went 4-8, nearly 60% completion percentage, nearly 2,200 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 picks. And, I mean, those are practical rookie numbers right there, okay? You're always, as a rookie quarterback, you tend to see them, I guess, have their interception numbers a bit high. All right, and that's kind of how it is the first few years of their career, first couple of years. But nonetheless, I mean, like I said, I feel like it was more so John Fox was handcuffing him a bit. And, I mean, we saw that Howard got the benefit of it, just given the fact that they were running the ball a whole bunch of times each game. It also helped my fantasy team, too, so I'm not going to complain. Nonetheless, last year Howard had, let's see, he ran for 1,100 yards, a little over, 9 touchdowns. Okay, average 70 yards per game. Caught 23 passes, 125 yards there. Rookie year numbers were better. He ran the ball less, had more yards, had less touchdowns by 3, had more receptions, more receiving yards, and one more receiving touchdown. But nonetheless, I'd call his past season in 2017 a very good one. All right. And that's one thing, too, that I think is going to help Mitch Trubisky a lot is the fact that he's got a top 10 running back there, okay? And is Jordan Howard a top 10 running back? I feel pretty comfortable saying that. Let's see. Let's go through it, okay? NFC East, Ezekiel Elliott's better. That's it, all right? Barkley hasn't played it down yet. Jay Ajayi, I'll take Howard. And then Guys hasn't played a year yet. NFC North, anyone better than Howard? No. NFC South, Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. NFC West, Todd Gurley, that's 5 running backs that are better than him right now. David Johnson, that's 6. AFC East, LeSean McCoy. AFC North, Le'Veon. Am I missing anyone else there? No. AFC South, I'll take him over Lamar Miller. I will take Fournette over him, so that's 9. AFC West, Melvin Gordon. Would I take Melvin Gordon or would I take Jordan Howard? I don't know, that's a tough one. All right. And I think that's where it stops right there. So it'd be between Melvin Gordon and Jordan Howard. So I guess you could say that Howard is a fringe top 5 running back. All right. Let's see. Let me look at Melvin Gordon's stats real quick just to see. All right. And Gordon, I think, has been in the league for 2 years, too, I think. Actually, he's been in the league for three, I believe. Yeah, for three, since 2015. Most yards he's had in the season was last year with 1,100. Let's see. Jordan Howard, a little bit more. I think he had 17. Yeah, had 17 more yards. Okay. The year that Howard came into the league, 2016, Melvin Gordon had nearly 1,000 yards, 997. Did have 10 touchdowns, though. Caught a whole lot more passes, too. And let's see, Melvin Gordon this year. So, yeah, Melvin Gordon, I think I have to give the edge to Melvin Gordon just given the fact that he is present in the passing game, too. And as a running back now in the league, I think you need to be able to do that, be a little bit more versatile. You see it in guys like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. So, yeah, I'd say Jordan Howard is a fringe top 10 running back. All right. You can make the argument for top 10. You can make the argument for like 11 or whatever. Nonetheless, I mean, that's going to be big for Mitch Trubisky because you're not going to be needing Trubisky to throw the ball every down. Okay, whereas a team like the Jets, let's say by some nature, they start Sam Darnold week one. You got Bilal Powell and Isaiah Crowell. That's not the cream of the crop as far as running backs. Okay, those are bottom 15 running backs right there. All right. And, of course, when you got a rookie quarterback, second-year player, it doesn't honestly matter. You get the gist of it. But when you got them throwing the ball, that they're prone to more mistakes, just given the fact that they haven't really learned the ins and outs of the game yet. Okay. So when you got a running back out there, you could give the ball to Jordan Howard about 25 times a game and be successful. Okay, he's that good of a running back. And let's not forget the fact that they signed Allen Robinson this year to make him Mitch Trubisky's number one receiver. That's a top receiver right there. Not top five, maybe top 10 fringe. But nonetheless, he's a top receiver out there. Okay, and looking at the draft, I mean, you take Anthony Miller in the second round, that's going to be a huge that's a huge pickup right there. Okay, Anthony Miller is going to be a very good receiver. It's just the injury concerns is what, I guess, shooed everyone away from him. I mean, he is a first-round talent, but like I said, it's just the injury things. All right, you take James Daniels in the second round also, center out of Iowa. I mean, of course, you're going to need to get Mitch Trubisky offensive line help. Okay. Joel, this name is way too difficult. Last name is spelled I-Y-I-E-G-B-U-N-I-W-E. Igbinuwe, I think. Joel, I can't pronounce it. He's outside linebacker out of Western Kentucky. Fifth round, they take Bilal Nichols, defensive tackle out of Delaware. Sixth round, they take Kyle Fitz, defensive end out of Utah. And then seventh round, they take Javon Wims, wide receiver out of Georgia. Not to forget the fact that with their first pick in the draft, they took Roquan Smith. That was a huge pick right there. Okay. They could have easily went secondary if they wanted. But nonetheless, they take Roquan Smith, who probably was the best pick available at that time. All right. Roquan Smith is a guy who's going to change your defense for the better. He's a franchise game-changing, franchise-changing player. Franchise-changing player, I should say. All right. I was real excited about that pick. My favorite picks of this draft for this team is the Anthony Miller and Roquan Smith pick. I think the Bears, they're not going to make the playoffs or anything like that, but they are going to surprise some people. They're going to be real competitive this season. Let me tell you. All right. I am all in on the Bears for the near future. Okay. That's the next up-and-coming team in the NFC North. In the NFC, honestly. Okay. They got a lot of young talent. I like them bringing in Matt Nagy to be the head coach. Did well with Kansas City. I also like bringing in Mark Helfrich to be the offensive coordinator. I think that he's going to bring in pretty much a pro style, but also a spread type offense that's going to help Mitch Trubisky. It's going to be a whole lot more dynamic. And not to forget the fact that they still got Tariq Cohen too. All right, Tariq Cohen is probably going to be one of the... Because last year, Tariq Cohen did well in fantasy, okay? But nonetheless, I think this year, Tariq Cohen's going to have like a real breakout year where he's going to be like a guy you could play every week if you want. All right. And then as far as the defense goes, I mean, the defense was real young last year, but they were really quick, and they got to the ball fast. I mean, you catch the ball, you're down right there, and they also forced a lot of turnovers too. So I think this Bears team is going to be one of the funner ones. I mean, they could end up being like the Rams, okay, where the Rams were just extreme. Probably not the same amount of success, but... I mean, you go a year where the Rams are one of the worst offenses, one of the worst teams in the NFL, to the next year where, I mean, they're playing good offense, they're playing good on defense, pretty much a complete team. That could be the Bears this season, honestly. Okay, and like I said, I'm not expecting to be as successful as the Rams because they play in a much better division. But the Bears are going to be a very good team this year. All right, the wins and losses might not show that, but I think they're going to take a big step up. So let's look at their schedule and see what I got them going at right now. So they got the Packers week one. I'm going to say that's 0-1. Then the Seahawks, I'm going to say 0-2. At the Cardinals, 0-3. Then they got the Bucks. I'm going to say 1-3 versus the Dolphins. That's at Miami, so I'm going to say 1-4 versus the Patriots, 1-5 versus the Jets, 2-5 at the Bills, 3-5 versus the Lions, 4-5 versus the Vikings, 4-6 at Detroit, 4-7 at the Giants, 5-7 versus the Rams, 5-8 versus the Packers. That's at home, 6-8. At San Francisco, 6-9. At Minnesota. So I guess I got them going 6-10 right now. And of course, I mean, these are all way too early predictions. So I'd say I got them going anywhere from 6 wins to 9. 6 to 9 wins, I think, is their little area where they'll finish at. All right. And I think that's a big plus. I mean, even if they win 6 wins this year or get 6 wins this year, that's an improvement compared to last season. They get 7, that's a 2-win improvement. So I think they're going to be a whole lot better this year. Of course, I don't think that they'll make the playoffs or anything like that, but they are going to turn some heads. So we'll see what ends up happening. But nonetheless, we're going to wrap it up there. Next up, we're going to be talking about the Minnesota Vikings. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. This is the NFC North edition of the show. So that means so far today we've talked Packers, we've talked Lions, we've talked Bears, and we are about to talk Vikings. All right. So I got the Packers going 11-5. I got the Vikings going, or not the Vikings, we're going to talk about the Vikings. I got the Bears going 6-10. But, I mean, I got them winning anywhere from 6 to 9, getting 6 to 9 wins. Packers, 11, I guess, 10 to 12 wins. And then the Lions, I guess, anywhere from 7 to 9 wins. All right. So, we talked about each of those teams. Now, we're going to head over to the NFC North champs from last year, Minnesota. All right. Team who disappointed last in the playoffs, honestly. Okay. Made it to the NFC Championship game. But when you get blown out like that by Philly, who, yeah, did win the Super Bowl, but nonetheless, you get embarrassed like that, and maybe, I said unsuccessful, that might have been the wrong term to use, but nonetheless, that's not a good look, all right? It really isn't. The Vikings, they got a great team right now, okay? Brought in a new quarterback, felt that Kirk Cousins was probably the better option other than, between him and Keenum, and I want to toot my horn a bit here, okay? I do. I remember that when it was announced that or reported that they wouldn't be franchising Teddy Bridgewater or Case Keenum, I called Kirk Cousins to the Vikings right then and there. And of course, in hindsight, you probably say, oh yeah, of course everyone saw that. But Kirk Cousins to the Vikings wasn't really an idea at that time. All right. So I just want to say that. I'm not going to go out and say I broke the news, but I called it. Okay. So maybe I do want some credit for it. Okay. Of course, I don't got the inside information, but, I mean, I could read between the lines there. You're not bringing back Teddy Bridgewater or Case Keenum. Obviously, you think you got a shot at something else, okay? given that you just simply don't franchise two of your quarterbacks when they could easily walk and leave you with nothing. Okay, or worse yet, Sam Bradford. All right. So yeah, I did call the Kirk Cousins move to Minnesota. All right. And yes, I am tooting my own horn. But nonetheless, I mean, the debate of the offseason was, is Kirk Cousins really that much of an upgrade over Case Keenum? I think so. Let's go through Case Keenum's career, and then we'll go through Kirk Cousins after. All right. And of course, Case Keenum really didn't get, I guess, a true, I don't know. We'll get into it. All right, so let's see. Case Keenum came into, they both came into the league at the same time. Perfect. Both came in at 2012. Keenum didn't play till 2013. He started 8 games that year. He went 0-8, 54% completion percentage, 1,700 yards, 9 touchdowns, 6 picks. His next real shot wasn't until, I guess, 2016, 2015 with the Rams. He played 6 games. He only started 5 of them. He went 3-2, completed nearly 61% of his passes, 828 yards, 4 touchdowns, a pick. Next year, he gets 10 games, starts 9 of them, goes 4-5, 61% completion percentage, 2,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 11 picks. So I guess the year where he truly got a shot, which was in 2017, where he gets to start more than 10 games, was, yeah, 2017. He starts 14 games, plays in 15. They go 11-3, all right, completes nearly 68% of his passes, 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 7 picks. All right, and looking at his playoff numbers, he obviously went 1-1, completed 60% of his passes, 589 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, but of course, that bad game coming against the Eagles. So Kirk Cousins, all right, didn't get his real shot until 2015. I mean, 2012, 2014, he only started about 9 games combined, okay? So 2015, he goes 9-7 when he gets 16 games to start. They go 9-7. Throws, completes nearly 70% of his passes, 4,100 yards, 29 touchdowns, 11 picks. 2016, he goes 8-7-1, completes 67% of his passes, nearly 5,000 yards, 25 touchdowns, 12 picks. And then this past year, they go 7-9. Man, they've gone game down each time. 64% of his passes completed, 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 13 picks. All right. So obviously, Kirk Cousins has had more of an opportunity, but my thing with the Vikings as far as deciding whether or not to bring back Case Keenum was, can you trust Case Keenum to give you another great year? Okay, or was this one of those one-hit wonder type of things? I think it might have been one of those one-hit wonder type of things because I think Pat Shurmur is just that good of an offensive coordinator. And Case Keenum does have talent, but he's a guy where, I mean, him and Cousins put up similar numbers this past season. Kirk Cousins did it with less, way less, entirely less than what Case Keenum had. Okay. Everything compared from Washington to this Minnesota Vikings team for Kirk Cousins is an upgrade. Okay. The running backs, an upgrade. Wide receivers, upgrade. Offensive line, that might go to Washington. But as far as the defense as a whole, that's an upgrade. Special teams, upgrade. Coaching staff, upgrade. Okay? Everything except for probably one unit of the team has gotten better for Kirk Cousins now that he's in Minnesota. Okay? But I will say this. Kirk Cousins does have a lot of pressure on him to win something with the Vikings team. Okay. They need to, at the very least, make the playoffs, win a playoff game, whether that be the wild card game or whatever. Like, they need to do something this year. Okay. And of course, you got Cousins for 3 more years. Well, 3 years total. All right. And I think anything less, I mean, than a Super Bowl appearance, I'm not saying they got to go out and win it, but at least make the Super Bowl would be, if they don't make the Super Bowl, at least would be a failure. Okay, and I understand it's tough to make it into a Super Bowl. All right, that's not, like, that's completely understandable to me, but it seems like the Vikings are treating Kirk Cousins as the final piece to this puzzle. All right, defense is top 5, probably top 3. Receiving corps is top, I don't know, I like Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, that's all I say. I'll say. Okay, and then Dalvin Cook, when he comes back, if his knee's all healed up, should be a very good running back for this team. All right. I don't think Kirk Cousins played with this amount of talent at all during his time in Washington. So, yeah, I guess saying anything less than a Super Bowl appearance wouldn't be a failure. All right. You already made it to the NFC Championship. Now it's time to progress to something bigger. All right. Let's see. Let's look at their draft. Round 1, pick 30. They take Mike Hughes, cornerback at UCF. Had some off-the-field concerns, but nonetheless, if he cleans up his, if his act is all cleaned up, should be a very good player for this Vikings team. Round 2, they take Brian O'Neill, tackle out of Pittsburgh. Fourth round, they take Jalen Holmes, defensive end at Ohio State. Fifth round, they take Tyler Conklin, tight end out of Central Michigan. They take a kicker with their second pick of round 5, Daniel Carlson, out of Auburn. Sixth round, they take Kobe Gossett, offensive guard out of Appalachian State. Second pick of the sixth round, they take Ade Aruna, defensive end out of Tulane. And then seventh round, they take Devontae Downs, inside linebacker out of Cal Berkeley. All right, spent a lot of the draft on defense. One, two, three, four. So four of their picks were on defense. One was on special teams, and the other two were offense, or two of them were offensive linemen. One was a tight end. All right, I think Mike Hughes could be a very good player for this team. But like I said, just got to make sure he's got his head on straight as far as the off-the-field stuff. But, I mean, as far as the Vikings go, they went 13-3 last season. All right. And I don't expect them to lose, like, to go 13-3 again or even 14-2 or anything like that. But I do expect them to be competing with the Packers. And, like I said, anything less than a playoff appearance would be a failure for this season. Okay. Like, playoffs is at the very least of what they need to do this season. At the very least. Okay. So with the Vikings, I mean, it's a matter of how do they stack up right now against all these other teams in the NFL. I'd say the Eagles are better right now. I'll take them over anyone in the NFC North. NFC South, they got to compete with the Saints. And then the NFC West, they got to compete with the Rams. So they're a top four team in the NFC right now. Top five team in the NFL for me right now. Okay. I'd say my top five teams right now are the Eagles, the Rams, the Saints, the Patriots, and the Vikings. Vikings going to be number 5. All right. And if anything, I might just have the Patriots at number 5. They might just be a top 4 team in the NFL. All right. But nonetheless, like I said, this is a big year for them. A lot of pressure just given all the money they gave Kirk Cousins. Okay. Told Case Keenum, we don't need you. Go wherever you want. We're going to take Kirk. So obviously, Kirk Cousins, at the very least, needs to be as good as Case Keenum once. Needs to be better than Case Keenum from last year. All right. Just given all that money that they're giving them, I mean, it's the least he could do. So let's look at their schedule and see what we got them going at. All right. So they got the 49ers week 1. I'll say that's 1-0. Then they're in Green Bay, 1-1. Bills, 2-1. At the Rams. I think I had the Vikings winning that one when I picked the Rams schedule. So I say that's 3-1. At Philly, 3-2. Versus Arizona, 4-2. Versus the Jets, 5-2. Against New Orleans at home, 6-2. Versus the Lions, 7-2. At Chicago, 8-2. Versus Green Bay at home, 9-2. At New England, 9-3. 10-3 against Seattle. 11-3 against Miami. I think I had the Lions. I'll say that's 11-4. And then 12-4. So I got them going 12-4. That's one game worse than last season. And that would be good enough to win them the division this year. So I think that's pretty fair. I think I got them going anywhere from 11 to 13 wins. All right. That's where I got them at. 11 to 13 wins this season. And I think that's fair. All right. Their schedule is pretty tough. It's real top heavy. But as the season progresses, it gets a little bit easier for them. So yeah, I got them going 12-4. And like I said, for these next 3 years, anything less than a Super Bowl appearance would be a failure. All right, so that's all I got to say about that. We're going to wrap up the show here. Today was the NFC North edition. Talked about the Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings. Got the Vikings going 12-4, Packers going 11-5, Detroit going 8-8, and then the Bears going 6-10. So we'll see how right I am, but nonetheless, thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. Well, I'll be back on Monday. All we got left is the NFC South and the AFC South, so I'll keep it a surprise as to which division we'll be talking about then. So stay tuned, and I will talk to you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.